podcast with us, and I've known Bob for quite a while, and I knew of Becky at Faith, but did not really know her, but it's good to have them both with us this morning. They're going to tell us about their ministry to Peru. They've only been on deputation for 4 months, so for a lot of missionaries, that's the beginning of a long road, but the Lord's blessing them, raising their support quickly, and we praise the Lord for that. So Bob, why don't you come and tell us what God wants to do with you.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Make sure you all are awake, right? You know, listen to the scripture reading that Pastor read this morning. Started to think about that next passage, the next chapter, when Pentecost came. And then at the end of that chapter, chapter 2 there, in verse 47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." And, you know, if we think about our commission, the great commission that we have, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? And if we'll obey those things that we've seen, what was read this morning, and what we see are charged to do as Christians, as God's people, we will see people added to the church daily, won't we? It is first and foremost obeying God and being that witness as we ought to be. If we look at the Great Commission, I'll talk about a lot of our ministry and everything this morning, but first thing I want us to do is just take just a second and look at the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, it reads, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age," or to the end of this world. And the first thing that we have to do is obey that first word, isn't it? Go. Now, often as a kid, I grew up on a farm out here in Kansas between Topeka and Manhattan, and that's right, I left my boots at home. Literally, I did. but a lot of the churches, when we were there and missionaries would come in, the first thing that they would talk about with this is to obey the Great Commission. We must go overseas. We must go into the deep, dark jungles of Peru. Well, that's what we're doing because God specifically put that call on our lives. But for everybody else that is not called to overseas ministry, that word literally means, in its original translation, as you are going, meaning in your daily life, where you live, where you work, where you shop, your friends and family, those around you, those are who we ought to be the witness to. Those are the ones that we ought to share the gospel with first and foremost. And then what we see in Acts chapter 2, these men were faithfully proclaiming the word of God, and God blessed the church by adding to it daily through souls saved. That is our charge, whether you're a missionary or whether you are coming to church like you. You know, many of you hold daily jobs and you go wherever your workplace is. That is a great mission field. There is so much need in our world today. When it is estimated that 1% of our world's population are born-again believers. 1%. And that's the world as a whole. And what's really sad is of the 313 million people that live within the borders of the United States, it is estimated that half of a percent of the people you know might be saved. So, go where? Go to the heathen. Who are the heathen? They're the unsaved. That could be your friends, your family, mom, dad, kids, aunts, uncles, the person that is the grocery store clerk that checks you out when you buy your groceries. Those are the people that we are first and foremost called to. I'd like to share with you my testimony, and then Becky's going to come and share her testimony. Then we'll show you our video and I'll tell you more about our ministry. I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad went to Faith Baptist Bible College. My mom and dad went there. They graduated from there. My dad took different ministries over the majority of my childhood. He was in the pastorate of one form or another. But I didn't get saved until I was much older. There was so much inconsistency in my family. We would act one way at church, and then you go home and you're living completely different. You'd act completely different. So from the time I was a young child, I learned what I like to call putting on the Christian mask, playing the part of a Christian. And thinking about these statistics, we got pews full of people playing the part. A lot of P's there. But it's very true. We got men and women sitting in these pews that were just like I am. Quite possibly somebody here today. If these statistics are anywhere near close, there's a possibility that someone sitting here is not saved. And I did that for the majority of my life. I turned my back on whatever was Christian. I did my part enough to fly under the radar, so mom and dad really wouldn't come down on me too hard. But there was times I doubted my salvation. And I would talk to mom and dad. I would talk to other pastors, youth workers. And you know what they would ask me? The main question that I always asked: did you pray a prayer? Well, yeah, I did when I was 5. You know, all my friends were coming forward, so it was a thing to do, right? And so I prayed the prayer. And then they say, well, you're saved. Let me ask you a question. Does the prayer save you? It is our faith being placed in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is what saves us. And I did not put my faith in that. I put my faith in a prayer because that's what I was taught. That's for years what was pushed in our churches. And you wonder why we have dying churches. You wonder why we have 99.5% of our population, the nation that was founded on the principles of God, founded on the Word of God, is one of the most heathen nations in the world. This nation, your home. I went to Faith Baptist Bible College for a year. 1998, I started college. I went because, I mean, that's what a pastor's kid does, right? Goes to Bible college. And I did. I went there, and I did just enough to not get kicked out. Literally. They just didn't catch me on the other stuff. But that's how I lived my life. And if you have any ties with Faith Baptist Bible College, you'll know Dr. Jeff Newman, the family and counseling professor. And he failed me in the intro to family and counseling that you cannot fail that class. It's absolutely impossible to fail that class. I failed it. I'm probably the only one in history that failed it. The problem was that it didn't come to class enough. So that's the only way you can fail it, actually. And actually, I was in their church Wednesday night back up in Iowa, and I was sharing this, and that's exactly what he says. There's only one way to fail, by not coming to class. And I didn't go to class, but I used that as my excuse to run away from Bible college, to run away from God, to run away from anything Christian. I ended up down here in Kansas City and living in not a good place, doing not good things, and just running from God as hard as I could. And a friend of mine that had gone to Faith with me, we were roommates my freshman year, he lived down here. And him and I decided one weekend that we're going to go back up to Iowa to visit some friends. And we get up there, and these friends, and I hadn't been in church in months, and these friends decided to invite us to church. They invite us to Altoona Regular Baptist Church in Altoona, Iowa, where they are having a revival. Tom Farrell, the evangelist who lives here in Kansas City, was speaking up there, was having a spiritual emphasis week at Faith, September 5th, 1999. I went to Altoona Regular Baptist Church, and I have no clue. Well, I had no clue what Tom Farrell said, except I was sitting over here like the fourth row, and every time he leaned over the pulpit, he was pointing right at me. I mean, right at me. And you talk about convicting, because I could just hear God telling me, this is your last chance. take it or leave it. You grew up, even though I had maybe bad examples of Christianity, I heard the Word of God from the time I was a child. It was my responsibility still to accept that. Scared me to death. And I remember thinking in my mind, I wish you'd sit down and shut up so I can come forward. He finally did. I crawled over all three of my friends and ran down the aisle. And the man leading the music here was Dr. Jeff Newman, who took me aside and led me to the Lord. And, you know, it was amazing Wednesday. We were able to be up there in that very same church for the first time since then. September 5th, 1999, when I gave my life finally to the Lord, putting my faith in the work of Christ. No, it's not a promise that life is going to be easy. Those of you that are seasoned Christians absolutely understand that. And it's not a reason to be saved either, to expect things from your past all of a sudden magically go away. But the Lord has taken us, and He's taking us on a journey as well. He's taking us through a lot of things. We've grown, you know, we've experienced a lot of different things, and the Lord now has called us to a ministry in the jungles of Peru. And here in a minute, we'll show you the video. Becky, I'm going to ask to come join me, and she's going to share her testimony with you. And we're excited to be able to be here. We are excited to be able to share our ministry with you. And by the way, in 2004, we were here in this church as well. We went to Peru in 2005 for a year, and this very church supported us and helped us get there during that ministry, and we'll share some of those ministries with you as well.
Buenos días. Good morning. Es un placer estar con ustedes esta mañana. It's a great pleasure for us to be here with you today and just to be able to share how the Lord's been working in our life. We were here about in 2004 when we went to Peru for our short-term trip in 2005, and it's exciting to come back and just to see a few familiar faces, and hopefully a few of you will remember us as well. I'd like to share a couple of verses with you from Luke chapter 18, verses 16 and 17. Let me start in verse 15. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And I praise the Lord that I'm a product of this promise. I received Christ as my Savior at the age of 5. And one thing my husband did not share about his testimony is that he made a profession of faith at the age of 5. However, it was peer pressure. It was, you know, not wanting to stick out. However, I do thank the Lord that He does call children. He, as the scripture says, it just takes the faith of a little child to receive Him. And I praise the Lord that my situation as a child, like many young people today, I come from a broken home, was raised in a single-parent family. And my mother, even though she didn't have an easy life, she was faithful to the Lord. She was faithful in praying for her children to come to know Him. She was faithful in taking us to a church that preached the gospel. And I praise the Lord that she followed Christ. And because of her example in my life, I came to know the Lord after a Wednesday night prayer service. We went home and I said, Mom, I don't think that I'm saved. And at the age of 5, she took me beside her bed and led me to the Lord right there. And still today, she's still serving the Lord. She does foster care, and just praise the Lord, her example in their lives as well. Every single one of them has made a profession of faith, and it's because of her faithfulness. I praise the Lord also that He gave me siblings that have all come to know the Lord as well. My sister is actually a missionary in Peru. She's been there. She's a lot older than I am. So she's been there since I was a very young child. So every time she'd come back from Peru, she would teach me little things about Peru. She would teach me some Spanish. And because of those things, my interest has always been very sharp. I've always been very interested about Peru and the ministries there. Because of her influence, I was able to learn Spanish quickly, because she would come back and teach me a few things here and there. And now the people, they never ask if I'm from the States. They always think I'm from maybe the city or from Argentina or somewhere. So the Lord has been very good with me in that area. I did go to Peru my first time as a senior in high school, and it was on that trip I didn't know any Spanish, except for little phrases here and there, and it was there that the Lord showed me the need for the people of Peru, gave me a real love for Peru, and since then I've been there 5 different times, and the Lord has just really given me a love for Peru and for the people there, and we've been to other countries. We lived in South Korea for a couple of years, and we're able to travel to Thailand and Cambodia, and every time we'd see something, we'd always compare it to Peru. So we know the Lord is calling us there. I grew up in Colorado, and I have 5 brothers, and so thoughts of snakes and spiders, those kind of things, they don't really bother me, and the Lord has given us a real love to start ministries to start a ministry where there is no ministry, which you'll see in our video, and we're excited to be able to teach other little children and adults the truths of the scripture, and we appreciate the opportunity to come and share that with you this morning. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Hola, somos Bob y Becky Bass, misioneros a Peru Sur America.
Hi, we are Bob and Becky Bass, missionary appointees to Peru, South America. Peru has a long history and was home to one of the oldest civilizations in history, which date back to the pre-Inca times.
Peru's varied geography has something for everyone: desert, mountains, and jungle. The majority of Peru's population live in the hot, arid coastal regions of the Atacama Desert. Here, the people speak Spanish and often enjoy the pleasures of modern society. Many missionaries and their families live and work in the coastal regions.
Moving inland, Peru's geography quickly changes from the desert to the Andes, the world's longest continental mountain range. The people in the mountains speak Spanish or Quechua, and sometimes they speak both.
We have just right around 100 churches in the mountains of Peru, in the southern part of Peru. And nevertheless, there are many areas where there are still no churches and there's no gospel witness.
Only a small handful of missionaries work in the mountains. However, the Lord is greatly blessing the ministries there. We will serve a 1-year internship here during our first term on the field.
And I came here 31 years ago, and at that time, we only have a couple of missionaries, but they already went. And from that time, God's word grew up much here in Peru, especially in this place. But there is places in the jungle, for example, no missionaries there.
Beyond the towering Andes Mountains, the Amazon jungle takes over the remaining 60% of the country. The people here speak Spanish, or one of the many tribal languages. Very few missionaries minister in the jungle, as life can be very difficult there.
The Basses are interested in working in the Cusco area. We have several areas where we don't have any churches, or just small groups of people, believers that are struggling. And one of the places where they want to work is in Cochipata. There's no churches presently in Cochipata.
It's a large area, with no gospel witness. And we've been down there to survey the area with Bob and Becky. And they believe that that is where God is calling them to go work.
We need more missionaries.
We have felt the Lord's call in our lives to take God's word and His message of salvation to the jungle of Peru.
Currently, there is no thriving churches in the Cochinipata province. We hope to form our team with several strong national families that would help us establish a church in the town of Picupata. In a recent article published in Peru, I was shocked to read some statistics on families of Peru. It stated that 1 out of 3 women in Peru live in violent conditions. 1 out of 3 young boys and 2 out of 3 young girls are sexually abused. 80% of Peruvian men are alcoholics. One of our long-term goals is the establishment of a biblical counseling center, which we hope to lift up and encourage families of our area to become the family example we see in the Bible.
I know that Roberto Paz and his wife, they are prepared and they are still preparing to work as counselors. And that is very important for us because in Peru, we have missionaries, we have pastors. We preach, of course, we preach God's word, etc., and we consult to the people, but we don't have enough preparation in that special case. And I'm convinced that we need at least one counselor ministry here in Peru.
This counseling center would be a ministry of the local church in that community.
Another ministry branch that we hope to establish is a soccer ministry. We want to attract many young people using soccer training camps and tournaments so that they may hear the good news of the gospel.
Here in Peru, the soccer is a big thing. It's easier if by this sport we can reach the people with the gospel. So Bob is able to do this too.
We hope to use creative ministries that are run in conjunction with the local church in order to draw many people to Christ. We want to share God's message of salvation with the lost who have never heard of His love and grace.
He has many capacities to work here in Peru. We are glad God is working in him and to come to help us here in Peru.
Romans 10:13-15. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You may ask, what can I do? Or, how can I be involved in the Bass's ministry?
You can pray. Stay connected with us in the ministries the Lord has allowed us to be involved with. Read our prayer letters. Send us an email. Reach us on our Facebook page. Read our blog. And call us on Skype. We love hearing from you and want to pray with you too. So please keep in touch.
You can give. Please pray for us while we are raising support on deputation. If the Lord prompts you to support our ministry, please contact Baptist Min Missions or talk to us. Give of your time. Once we are in Peru, you can give of your time by coming down on a work team. We have been part of and have helped host work teams. These times are a huge encouragement, both to the missionaries on the field and to the members of the church team.
You can come. The Lord may be calling you into full-time missions, maybe even to partner with us in Peru. Please talk to us. We would love to share our testimonies of how the Lord has called us into missions and would love the opportunity to pray with you as you answer God's call in your life.
one reed, and thus I make it my ambition to preach the gospel, not where Christ has already been named, lest I build on someone else's foundation, but as it is written, those who have never been told of him will see, and those who have never heard will understand. We believe the Lord specifically calling us to that kind of ministry where there is no ministry, where nobody is currently preaching God's word. We had targeted the area of Koshinipata, which was what was spoken of on here, but since we've made this, and within the last little bit, we got word that somebody is going now and proclaiming the gospel there, quite possibly. And if that is the case, which in any third world country, you have to wait a while to find out if it's actually happening, because things change rapidly. But if when we get down there, somebody is there, praise the Lord, but we'll go to another area of the jungle. Our type of ministry will not change, just where we do that ministry would. There is an area of the jungle where we are looking at now. It is called Ibochote, is the name of the village of where that is at. trying to think and do other things here at the same time, not going to work. And so this part of the jungle where we're looking at now is 2 days in from like where Rachel Tarvin is at. So she's in the Cusco area, and so it's 2 days into the jungle from there to the literal end of the road. It is the village at the end of the road. And it is very much a key area that would be just a tremendous place to start a ministry, because it is basically a truck stop city or village, truck stop village, where you have people coming in, trucks coming in, picking up goods, dropping off goods, and hauling the things they pick up back out of the jungle. You have people, tribal people, coming in for trade into this village, out of the jungle, out of the deeper interior of the jungle, picking up goods, doing whatever, and going back out. So the ability and the possibility, I should say, of ministry there is just tremendous. The ability to meet with some of these tribal people there in that village, because you cannot go into a tribal village without an invitation from the tribe. They're the villagers themselves. You just may not come home if you go. So to receive an invitation is key. So if you're ministering where they are going to be all the time, it is a tremendous opportunity to have the possibility of going into their villages. Right now, Becky's sister and brother-in-law, Tim and Barb Watley, have received an invitation some years ago to a village. From that point, from Ibochote, 5 more days on river into the jungle, which they go yearly in and preach the gospel. Before that, they were invited to another village closer. It was 2 to 2.5 days on the river from there, from Ibochote into the jungle. So their current trip is 7 days just to get to the village. And so there's just a tremendous amount of opportunities there. But if we start a key ministry, the mother ministry, there in Ibochote, then it can expand greatly. Some of the different ministries that you heard on our video, one of them was the counseling ministry. In 2005, when we were in Peru, we specifically asked the missionaries, what is one ministry that we can come back to the States and prepare for before coming? And one thing they said is, we would love somebody to be able to do counseling, to have that as under their belt, that kind of training. And so that's what we came and did. Last year, just a few months ago, I graduated with my master's in biblical counseling, and specifically for this. A couple years ago, and I'll give you some background on a lot of these statistics and everything here. A couple years ago, a pastor who was also a police officer in the Urubamba Valley that works alongside Tim and Barb and Rachel and all the other missionaries that are in that valley, he came to him and said, thinking about these, keep these statistics in mind again. And he said that, for example, like when a woman would come and say, my husband's abusing me, the police used to say, what did you do to cause it? That was the approach. Even with the abuse for the children, it just, nothing would happen. And what is happening now is these men are being brought before a judge. Now this judge, and you think that's a great thing, right? But this judge is sentencing these men to counseling with a psychologist. Okay. Now stop for a second and think with me. Let's think about where we want to go. Ibochote, 2 days from Cusco, where you might maybe, but probably not, find one psychologist, if you even believe psychology is appropriate. You would probably have to go another 2 days to the coast, to Lima, to find any psychologist. So it doesn't happen. So these men, what is happening now is these men will be lectured for a little bit by the police officer, possibly. And if it's a good police officer, he'll probably take him out back for a few minutes. But then he gets turned back to his family. Nothing's happened except he's going to get his revenge. And the people that are suffering these heinous crimes are going to quit reporting it because it's only made it worse now. This police officer came to our sister-in-law and brother-in-law and said, we need somebody from the church to step in that gap. And so the idea with the biblical counseling and establishing a facility would possibly be invited by the police, by the magistrate of the community, the municipality, to take some of that as we are able to. You have to understand the tremendous opportunity that comes from that. First and foremost, what needs to happen is these people need to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is the greatest need. And then, and only then, can you help them. So the first and foremost priority then would be to share the gospel and help them see their need of Christ. But you have an open door to the whole family if you get invited to minister or to counsel these people. So it's a tremendous opportunity. We have long-term goals with that. The eventual establishment of an actual facility instead of just a counseling, being able to go into their homes and counsel. Because it'd be a place where you can house battered women. And mind you, these statistics are a lot worse as you get away from civilizations. And we're 2 days into the jungle, so you can imagine they're tremendously worse. And so you have battered women that, I mean, and these are cycles that have been going for generation after generation after generation. And so they don't understand anything else. So to help them step away from it and be able to work with both sides. Also, for those men that are alcoholics, to be able to give them a place to dry out and counsel them. It is a very long-term ministry, but it's something you got to start somewhere with it. You got to first have a goal, and that's our goal. Another, and this is, mind you, all alongside of church planting. We'll plant a church, and these ministries I'm talking about will facilitate the growth of the church spiritually and numerically. But the other ministry that we would like to start, you heard on there, the soccer ministry. And in 2005, this very church helped be part of the starting of a soccer ministry in the Utabamba Valley, which saw many souls saved. Men and women still come to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law's church there in the village of Aring because of that soccer ministry. Some of it may not be the men themselves that played soccer, but they may have started coming to church, or some of their family may have been introduced to the church through that ministry. And this church had a hand in that as well because of its supporting of us as we were able to go down there. We desire to start that same kind of ministry alongside a church plant. Soccer is a religion to Latin people. Now, if you think about this community, you have Hispanics in this area. You start a soccer ministry, it's going to be an amazing opportunity for this church. And then when we're in Peru, we will do that. And our desire is, and how we do the soccer ministry, let me back up, and I know I'm running out of time, but what time's lunch? Okay, I'll do this quick. We would play, basically we would take 8 men out of the church, forming 4 teams, one spiritually mature man and one man that needed, or young man that needed to be mentored spiritually. And we would take them to put them in groups of 2 and send them in the community to the people that are not attending our church and say, form soccer teams out of it. And they would bring these men in, and now they are responsible for the ministering to these men. Or young boys would play sometimes. They would go and they would come. We did like 7 or 8, 9 Saturdays in a row at a time of soccer games where you run tournaments. And what would happen is in the middle of the activities, we would stop and we'd have a devotional. We would bring speakers in from different churches in the community. Different pastors would come in and speak to these young men. They would hear the gospel. And when you first start, it's kind of, not too many people are really interested. But when there's a soccer game repeatedly, every Saturday on the same field, it becomes a community event. People started coming from different parts of the community. Women would start having refreshments on the sidelines and everything. It became a huge community event. And so then we were able to introduce each of them to the gospel every Saturday. But then immediately following, we had youth group. And youth group is for the young at heart, mind you, in Peru. I think we had 60-year-olds coming to youth group. But it was an opportunity to say, oh, hey, you're right here by the church on a soccer field. We're getting ready to have youth group. More fun, more activities and food. Come on over. The biggest challenge was always to get them into the doors of the church. But as soon as they came and they saw, well, they're not so weird, they started coming more, and they came a little bit more. They put a little more trust in what you're saying and listened to you a little bit more. So eventually some of them started getting saved. And that is the goal that we would like to, type of ministry we'd like to establish alongside the church plant. But we want to actually take that a step further. Baptist Men Missions has in the Dominican Republic a program called Play Ball. You may have heard of it. What they do is it's baseball with baseball. They go in for a week into different communities, and they'll set up for 5 days, say it is, and they'll have different stations teaching different skills of the sport to these young people. But there's also a Bible station. So for 30 minutes a day, they hear the gospel 5 days a week. Young people are being saved by the droves. Churches are exploding because of this ministry, and there's a demand for them in communities that they've never been in. And they're unsaved people just wanting this group to come. And they can't keep up with it. So our desire is to transform this ministry that we have started and will continue to do into that kind of ministry, Lord willing, eventually. And see it grow through all of Peru, Lord willing. Possibly through all of South America. It is an amazing opportunity. And so if we would like to work on establishing that as well alongside this. We do run into lots of different risks and different struggles. As Pastor has been telling you, one of the big things that we will face in the jungles of Peru, as you will in any part of the jungle, regardless of where you're at, is drug trafficking. You have these men that, in this part of the jungle, in the southern parts of the jungle, basically they grow the cocaine plant, the coca leaf. And the government only allows them to grow so much at a time, but you can't make much cocaine with a handful of coca leaves. So they will run people off their property and kill you if you have to, if you're not, don't leave willingly. And they will plant these fields way out in remote areas, and then they'll harvest them. Well, the police look for that. And the main trafficking is done at night. If you're caught on the road at night, it's a bad thing, because that's, if you see cars coming at night, they're drug traffickers. And you've seen them now. Now you're a liability to them. So one of the big things is to stay off the roads at night. And if you think about it, we're going 2 days into the jungle. And if your car breaks down, what are you going to do? If you leave your car, it won't be there in the morning. If you stay with it, you won't be there either. I've had the opportunity to spend a few years in the military, and I trained as a mechanic. And so the Lord has prepared us specifically for that. But that is a challenge, kind of wrapping a couple things in there. A challenge and a blessing, being able to do those kind of things and be aware. We really have to just be aware and alert to what's going on, and that solves a lot of problems if you can understand that. Know where not to go, but there's always that the risk and the dangers involved in that. There's also different cults that we'll face. One of them is called the New Jerusalem. It's one of the most perverse cults. They believe that God has forsaken Israel and chosen the Peruvian people. Okay. thank you. It's really bizarre. I don't know how they get that, but they do it. If you join the church, you give them all of your belongings. Everything you own now belongs to the church. If you have a young daughter, she will be sexually assaulted by the apostles or the leaders of the church. She will bear a child. That child will become the child of the apostles, what they call it. It will be property of the church. And I know I've dumped a lot on you, and I've done it really quick. And these are just kind of tips of the iceberg on some of this. This is a dark and perverse culture, a dark and perverse area. These are people that do not know Christ as their personal Savior. Ibochote is the village that never sleeps, they say, because the constant trucks, in and out, people coming in and out, villagers, or tribal people coming in and out. It is the hub of this part of the jungle. Very literal. Hub. There is one charismatic church that doesn't preach anything near the gospel in this village. The challenges are tremendous, but the need is great. And some say, why in the world would you go and subject yourself and your family to this? Because I have a great God that's put a great call on our lives. I would not want to be anywhere else than to where He has called me to be. Even when I was in the army, some would say, well, why would you do that? Because God called me to go do that. I knew that. I would be safer standing in a war zone than here at home. Being in God's will is the best place you can ever be. If God has called you to minister somewhere, here at this church, to family and friends, and you are not doing it, you are not in God's will. It is not a good place to be. Be in God's will, first and foremost. I'm not patting myself on the back. I am just as messed up as the next guy. I really am. I am not that super spiritual Christian that is better than everybody else. That's why I'm going to be a missionary. No, I'm messed up. There's people that are better off and better prepared for these type of ministries than I, but God has called me specifically, and I'm willing to go. That is the difference. So if God's called you to a ministry here, Peru, wherever that might be, obey. That is a challenge that I have for you today. Don't take 20 years like I did to obey God's call, first and foremost, for salvation on my life. And don't wait. If God is calling you to something today, do it. It is the most amazing thing to see God's blessing in your life, to obey Him. You may not see it materialistically. Does that sound right? You won't see it materially, maybe, but God's blessing will be there. And the peace that we have through obeying God is the greatest thing that you can have in your life, regardless of what else happens around you or to you. That peace, knowing that you are in the center of God's will, is what we ought to strive for. I will go ahead and close in prayer. And then, Pastor, I will turn it over to you, and we'll go from there. Father, we come before you, and we humbly thank you for the work that you have done for us on the cross. We thank you for your love and just that sacrifice, such a great sacrifice that was. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you every day, regardless of where we're at in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, has not cried out and said, God, I need a Savior. I believe in what Jesus did on the cross, and I have faith that that in and of itself saves me, that they would get that straight today. If there are those here that do not or are not living as they ought, or are not obeying you as they ought, Lord, just pray that you would do a work in their lives, not for me, not even for this church, but for you, Lord. And we just pray that whatever goes on here through the rest of the day, we'll be honoring and glorifying to you, and thank you for your many blessings, Lord, in your precious name. Amen.
Amen.